What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 158, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. And of course, it is holiday season, so you should do all of your holiday shopping on Amazon because it's just so easy. You don't have to wait in lines, and this time of year, it's just crazy. With me today, as always, my co-host is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you doing?
It's good, man. It's Tuesday. It's some interesting news this past week. Some stuff to get excited about on the CPU front and it's kind of the GPU front as well. But yeah, Tuesday, it's there's not a whole lot of snow. I don't know if you guys got a lot of snow.
We haven't for a minute. It's warming back up again, so.
Yeah, we missed the big storm. I don't know what
went through like South Carolina. Are you talking about the name?
Yeah,
it's so dumb. I can't stand that they name winter storms. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people got hit with that. It missed me. Obviously missed you. So it's good. It's sunny out today. It's still cold though. It's very, very cold. So
yeah.
But let's jump into reviews. We have three reviews this week, all completely different products. But we'll start with the Fanatic Clutch 2 gaming mouse. And I've been a fan of Fanatic ever since the first product that we reviewed, and they've sent us pretty much their entire lineup. I think this, besides their mouse pads, which I have a couple here, this rounds out their current lineup of products. And this is a gaming mouse designed for esports mostly. Right-handed mouse. It uses the PixArt 3360 optical sensor with Omron switches, so you know you have good hardware in there. And that's pretty much for 2018. That's the sensor that everybody's using. And it's incredibly comfortable, and it's just a simple mouse. Like, I think so many companies, especially with the RGB craze, and just they've overdone mice, and this is just a simple mouse. It has, I think, a total of 6 buttons on it with everything. You know, it has your main 2 buttons plus the back and forward on the side of the mouse for your thumb, and then you have you can press the scroll wheel in, and then there is a button for the, you know, switch your profile or your DPI setting. That's it. Incredibly comfortable, works really well. As I said, the RGB is not overdone. And it's, I think it's $60.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. It's just like, it's just well done. And it's the thing I like about these Fanatic products is they're very tuned towards performance, meaning that it needs to be comfortable. It needs to function well, whereas a lot of other products go for looks and other things over the actual function. And since Fanatic, their gaming teams are using these products, they need to be functional for those players to perform at their best. So that's why I really like Fanatic products. And this mouse is just great. It's just, I can't really say much bad about it. The only thing, and we pointed it out on the other mouse review, which was the Flick 2, it doesn't have a braided cable. That's the only thing bad I could really say about this mouse. The cabling is rubber. We're just used to seeing braided on a lot of these gaming mice, so it'd have been nice to see that.
Yeah.
But it has good software as well. Their software, it's called the Fanatic OP software. Works great. Very easy to use. If you've never used software like that, it's very easy to pick up. It's not like crazy in depth like some of the other ones that are out there. And it's a mouse I would totally recommend. $59.99. Just a good mouse. Yeah. If anybody's looking for like a no frills kind of gaming mouse that is extremely functional and very, very comfortable. I had been using the Flick 2, which was the kind of ambidextrous mouse. It's kind of designed like that. This one's designed as a right hand mouse, and I think this is what I'm gonna be using for the foreseeable future. So
nice.
I just like it. So if you're, you know, looking for gaming products, I would highly recommend Fanatic products. They don't have a whole lot out there because, you know, they're fairly new in the space, but all of the products that we reviewed so far have been really, really good. So I would definitely check them out if you're looking for a keyboard or a gaming mouse. My favorite keyboard of this year is their Mini Streak. Definitely my favorite keyboard of 2018.
Nice.
So definitely, like I said, check out their products. But we'll move on to some fans and some RGB fans. And there's a million RGB fans out there. I think one of the most overdone products of 2018 has to be RGB fans. It's just the world we live in, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
But Cooler Master, one of the bigger names in components, they have their Master Fan MF120R ARGB fans. And this is a three-fan kit, or you can buy them, you know, in singles as well, that features an RGB controller and an addressable RGB connection. What that means is that you can connect it to an addressable RGB header on your motherboard. Keep in mind, it is addressable. It's a three-pin connector. It's not the typical four-pin that you'll see on, like, a lot of Z170, Z270 boards. Mm. We only started seeing addressable RGB headers on, like, Z370, I got it all mixed up again. But the last two generations of Intel boards in the last generation of AM4 boards. So that's something you have to keep in mind, because if you think you're going to connect this to a 4-pin, it won't connect, and there's no software control provided by Cooler Master. Huh. But inside, you have addressable RGB LEDs, which are in the center of the fan. And for actually being in the center of the fan, it's quite bright. The lights on these are quite bright. And we have a comparison in the review that goes over all the RGB fans that we reviewed. And basically, they're all in the same color, and you can see the difference. And this fan is quite bright. And it comes with that controller that Cooler Master is using in a lot of their different products. It's their addressable RGB controller. And as I mentioned, it does have a header that you can connect to your motherboard if you want software control. Now, unfortunately, we don't have a board here that gives us that ARGB header, so I just had to use it as a controller. And as a controller, you have six different modes. You don't have the ability to actually select a color, which I was kind of bummed out about, because, you know, a lot of people, they get RGB fans, but, you know, if they're going for a certain style, maybe they want all of their fans blue. Maybe they want them all white, you know.
Yeah.
I can't individually select a color that I want. And the only, you know, there's a couple different modes, but the most popular one is the rainbow wave that everybody loves.
Yeah.
That's there, and you can change the speed of the different effects, but that's it. There's not a whole lot of, I can't control the fans individually. Like maybe I want one a different color. I can't, like I said, select a color or select a variety of colors for each fan to cycle through. I don't really have a whole lot of control.
So that controller does not plug into the motherboard.
Correct. Okay. Now, what's interesting is I almost 100% certain that initially Cooler Master was going to do this, because it does have a micro USB connection on it, but there's no micro USB cable included, and there's no software. I think that what happened with a lot of these companies is that they planned on making software. It got too expensive or too hard, and they kind of abandoned
it. Well, they have software.
But it's not for this controller. It's for the other one.
Right. I wonder if it would work, though.
Yeah, that's something I definitely could try. But again, you need that cable. You need
a micro USB to USB header. Or, I mean, yeah. Just to USB. You can plug that into any of your inputs, your USB ports. It wouldn't be pretty, but you could do it.
I don't believe that it would work.
Yeah.
Because the controller, whatever hardware is under the... is different, probably a different chip. But I think that's what happened, because if you actually look at the directions, it tells you to download the software, but there's no software.
Or maybe there's software coming. Yeah, I can't believe that their software wouldn't work, honestly, because it's the software for the AIOs is like, it's not specific. It's you build your device within the software and then change it from there, right? So you build up a profile for it. So I don't see why this would not work on the same software. If anything, I would suggest that maybe they don't have the firmware for this controller complete.
Possibly.
Because I did have to flash the firmware on the 360 AIO that I reviewed. I forget which one. RL360.
Okay, because I was very excited to see the software, because you had talked about it.
It's very good.
And that's what, you know, the biggest thing with these is that we get to a point with RGB fans where it's, they have software or they don't. Just like with the AIOs, you know, remember AIOs that didn't have software?
They still exist.
they still exist. So I was really excited to check out the Cooler Master software, but there is none. And what makes it even worse is if you're not plugging this into your motherboard, you have to change modes. You have to press that button on the controller, which is typically mounted inside your system.
It's definitely an internally mounted controller.
Yeah, so that's one thing I didn't like about it. And then another thing is that this is a 3-fan kit. They give you all the connections to connect 3 fans. But what if I want to add a 4th fan? Right?
There's no... It's strictly 3-fan plugs?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can't add another fan to this. I can't, with the controller, I can't control the speed of my fans. They just plug into your motherboard or fan controller, which give you that control, but it would just like, I'm just imagining the perfect RGB fan. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which would give me not only, controls of the RGBs, but speed control as well. Altogether, we've seen a couple iterations. Actually, they might have been the Raging Tech fans. I forget the ones that had the control for your phone.
Yeah,
Phone app was very close, but it was just bad implementation.
I think the Raging Tech one it was not on your phone. It was a controller.
Okay, yeah. So, but we've seen a couple iterations. Yeah. But again, this is just like kind of lacking one software provided by Cooler Master, because again, not everybody's going to have a brand new AM4 system or brand new Intel system. It's just, they're just not. So that's, but it's priced, these are priced at $50, which is right around where most non-software RGB fans are priced.
Yeah.
So I can't harp on them that bad with this, because they do look great. They're very bright.
The fans are really good.
Yeah,
fans themselves.
The fans themselves are really good. It's just, again, I'm looking for the perfect RGB fan, and I thought Cooler Master would have.
Well, I think that Cooler Master, because I would say that Corsair probably has the best kit right now as far as the quality of the fan. I think Cooler Master has a great fan. If you look at the picture, the comparison picture, it's not quite as good as the Corsair fan though. So they have no choice but to come in cheaper, and this does come in cheaper than the Corsair kits, but it's obviously missing a whole bunch of functionality. I kind of can't believe that they didn't include the full controller. Now, browsing their website, they do have a wired controller that looks like I'm guessing you plug into the controller that yours came with. That's what it looks like. So that's probably what your USB, your micro USB out is. And that this gives you more control to like probably wire it externally somehow. I just don't see, and this is an additional accessory. Just don't see how.
Yeah,
this
that's
is gonna...
just that's what Corsair had to do too. Because so if you look at the Corsair fan, the HD120s, those initially came with a hardwired controller that you had to do the same thing. You had to hit the button and switch. And then they came out with their Commander Pro 2, I believe, which works with IQ, and that's their whole software thing. So they have like an in-between that you can connect the controller from the HD120 to the new Commander Pro 2 thing. It's just so confusing.
Yeah.
But again, I like these fans. I think they're good. I think they're one of the better ones out there. It's just... I just want a little bit more control, and I just don't like the idea of if I want to switch. Here are the two big things is, one, if I want to switch something, I have to open up my case if I don't mount this externally. And it's going to be pretty hard to mount externally. Two is that I want the ability with it, even if it is a hardwired controller, to select my color. Even if it's just like a lot of them that allow you to select a color, you get like 7 colors. You get like, that you can cycle through.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to cycle through, because if I'm, maybe I want to do a red theme today, I can cycle through to red and make all my fans red. Those are the two big things I didn't like. But besides that, like I said, good fan, great RGB coverage, good fans as far as specs and everything like that.
Yeah.
They're just lacking a little bit. But again, at $50, you can't,
I mean, they're good. They're it's the money's worth the fans.
Yeah.
Because, they are like $25 fans a piece.
Yeah, and if you, really compare the Corsair fans are
$120.
They give you software control and everything like that. So
It looks like they do have a kit that comes with the, it's the master controller.
Okay.
And that one does everything that you're talking about. That's the one that comes with the AAOs, which you can buy that by itself, for, where'd it go? It's $36 on Amazon, which isn't too bad, but I mean, it's, you know, that's 3/5 the price of that kit, but, working on more, or you can buy the Master Fan Pro Air Balance. I don't think these fans are the same. I don't think they're the same level of fan as what you're getting in that kit, but that's $60 for the whole kit right now.
Yeah, I would hope that maybe we'll see it at CES, is that we see a second generation of this fan that has, you know, USB connectivity to your motherboard for software control.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so hopefully we see that. But again, they're good fans. They're priced, the price is fair for what you're getting. So check out our review, you know, to see kind of what I liked and what I didn't like. But yeah, so our last review is something we don't take a look at a lot of, but I've actually, I've had experience with like 4 or 5 of these, a monitor arm or monitor mount. If you're doing multiple screens, your desk space kind of just disappears, after a while. And if you have two different monitors from two different companies, they just look kind of dumb sitting next to each other, but all, you know, different stands with different heights and things like that. So a monitor mount or a monitor arm is something that you probably want, and they probably give you more flexibility. I haven't seen a lot of monitors lately that would give you, you know, swivel and rotation all in one, or height adjustment as well all in one. Mm-hmm. Whereas a, you know, a mount like this, which is the Arctic Z2 3D, will give you that flexibility. I mean, it just allows you to really kind of do whatever you want with your monitors. And this is a dual monitor mount, so it supports up to 2 27-inch monitors. And it's actually, you know, out of the handful of monitor mounts or stands or whatever you want to call them that I've reviewed, this is one of the best ones. And I was actually really surprised. I didn't think it would be as good as it is. But it is really, really good, really well built. I mean, these have to be well built just for the fact that, I mean, they have to support your monitor. This supports up to 35 pounds total weight. So
between the two?
Heavy monitor. Yeah, between the two. Ooh,
I could get close with some monitors.
Some, yeah. But, you know, it was pretty easy to put together. It took me about 30 minutes to get everything set up. And they include these extension arms that really give you a lot of flexibility to really set your monitors up, you know, right next to each other and all that. And they've actually done cable management correctly, because so many of these, the cable management, like, is just done really bad. And it seems that a lot of these monitor arms were, like, designed for, like, just to cable manage the power. Mm. When you, you know, then you add, like, a display port or HDMI cable, there's just not a lot of room where this actually, it fits. Nice. Which is surprising. So I, you know, I mounted two monitors on here for our test station for systems, and you know, it worked out quite well. I believe they're both 24-inch monitors that I have on there, and it just makes it so much easier. It saves me so much space on the desk. And this one comes with a powered USB 3.0 hub, a 4-port hub as well. So again, if you're looking to tidy up your space, you can plug in, you know, your keyboard and mouse right there.
That's a well, and that's just a great space to access with your USB drives, honestly.
Yeah, you know, if you know, I'm transferring files, I can just plug it in right there. Boom, good to go. Really surprised with this product. I didn't think it would be as good as it is, but it is really, really good. Allows for a lot of flexibility. It's $109.99 right now, which isn't horrible either. For a dual monitor.
Yeah, not too bad. What limits it to the 27-inch? Is it the parallel positioning them side by side? Is that...
Yes.
Okay, so you could have them at an angle, though, and have bigger monitors than that?
Yeah, obviously, unfortunately, I couldn't test that.
Yeah.
I know their Z1 3D supports up to, like, a 37-inch display. Okay. The single arm. So, you know, you can put something big on here. It all depends on the size. I guess their thing is, you know, if you're putting them side by side, 27 is the biggest you can go.
Okay. Kind of the max reach with two of them, right? Just parallel and perpendicular.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But those extension arms really do help, and they really allow you to. Because I had another one with these exact same monitors on it. I forget who made it. But it, because it didn't have like the certain type of arms, they were just not even like these ones are.
Like height wise. Or the way they positioned.
The way they positioned right next to each other, there was like a gap, and it was just like, it wasn't the implementation of that one was not that great. This one has done really well, and it's just like, it's a simple product that a lot of people mess up. And this one's just done well. And then, like I said, I like the USB port on it, or the USB hub on it as well. So very, very cool product. If you're looking, if you're a dual monitor user and you're looking at this, or even if you're a single monitor user, because again, a lot of monitors don't give you adjustments that you want. I think all the monitors I reviewed, except for one, or I don't even think that one even, no, the Samsung might have had a height adjustment, but all the other ones that I reviewed this year did not have any height adjustment.
Yeah, height adjustment's kind of gone away.
Yeah, so you either, you know, I had my monitors on stands because, you know, but this is obviously a much better solution. It allows you to easily move them too, and all that. So definitely check out that review. And again, a monitor arm that I'd highly recommend. And if you have a single monitor, they have the Z1 3D as well. Almost the same design, just one arm, not two. So yeah, good stuff there. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have another build inside of the Cougar Conqueror case. And this one, pretty cool, I have to say. I don't know. What kind of head is it? What is that?
Is it a dog?
No.
A wolf? A fox?
Maybe a wolf or a fox, I think. I don't think it's a dog. Well, but they kind of fashioned canine. They fashioned the front of the case sort of like a wolf, maybe. But I think it's pretty cool. It's done by Cap10, and we've actually featured a few of his builds over the past couple of years. And very well done. Just a different look on this case. It just looks solid. I think it looks cool. He added some extra things in there as well. I don't know exactly what's on the back side of the motherboard. I'm not sure what that is. That's just for style.
It's got a... What is that? Some sort of a pocket. If it was the front side of the motherboard, I would say it was a pump. You know, a block pump combo. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a an aluminum disc, like a little cover. I don't know.
And then he added like spring looking
their shock absorbers.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the same guy that I believe did the Ducati build, so you can kind of see that. Sweet build with that ROG motherboard, the Rampage 10 or 11 Extreme. Or six, or I don't know which one it is. Anyways, but Bits Power cooling in there, all chrome water cooling, which we haven't seen in a while, I don't think. But it works really well with this build, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange build. There's a lot of elements, different elements going on. Like the design elements don't all like necessarily mesh together. It looks cool, but it's kind of strange. Like the pump is at the back of the bottom back, kind of outside of the case, with what I assume it's a pump res, I assume back there. So it just kind of hangs out the back, almost like if this were the Ducati, I'd call it the tailpipe, but it's obviously not. This is some sort of a fox or something. And then it's just, I don't know. It's cool, but it's kind of abstract.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah.
I do like how, sadly to say, all the RGB lights kind of go together.
That kind of adds to it. It's almost like a stained glass looking kind of look to it, because it's got all these little cutouts, these geometric cutouts. So the different lights coming through in the different spots, it looks cool.
Yeah, it's different. And it's definitely worth checking out. When I saw it, I was like, that's different. Because we've seen a lot of builds in this case. This is like one of the... heavily modded and heavily custom
built. Is it getting pushed so that Cougar gets the case shown a whole bunch before the Antec version comes out?
The Antec version's out.
Oh, is it out now?
Okay. It's not as good at all.
Yeah.
But but yeah, so definitely check this one out. It's really interesting too. If you look at the power or the 24 pin connection, he uses like tubing there. I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Oh yeah, what do you even call that stuff?
Wire tubing?
Yeah, I think it is wire tubing. Yeah, the old school rib tubing
for wire. Yeah, yeah. That's but it looks good on here, and he has it on his graphics card as well.
Yeah, he's got it there. He's got it running up the back side of the case, which I thought was an interesting choice. And it works because there's no easier thing to hide cabling with.
Like, yeah, so it's an interesting build, I'd say.
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Very, very cool. And as I always say, we have our full section on Case Mod Friday. So, you know, probably, how many do you think we have in there?
1,000.
1,000?
Could it actually could be?
No,
probably not.
No, well, maybe at least a few hundred in there.
I would say more. Yeah.
So it is beginning of the month, or it was the beginning of the month. So that means we have our 20 of the worst PC setups, and we picked some from November. And man, some people. you got to do what you got to do to get on your computer. Some of these are really bad. A couple people submitted some this time, which was cool as well.
Bragging about their terrible living conditions.
Either people have terrible living conditions, they're in the middle of moving, or they're just in a situation where they want to get their PC up and running.
Yeah.
One of the funny ones is this guy. He has a broken laptop where the screen doesn't work, and to circumvent that, he ripped off the screen, it looks like, and he has output going to an old CRT monitor, which is really funny.
And he's using a Mac keyboard?
Yeah, which is even funnier.
Yeah. Well, he's got his Cheetos, so he's probably happy.
Yeah. The funny thing, these like old CRT monitors, like they're, can you imagine like dragging those around? I remember taking those to LAN parties, and that just took up so much space.
Well, yeah, that, and they're like 50 pounds.
Yeah, that too.
That little desk thing, he's got it on a board on a chair. That thing's about to cave. Yeah. Like, be ready for that to end badly.
Yeah, so a lot of these are really funny. Definitely worth checking out. Some people just shouldn't be living like this.
Some of them kind of make me think of like what Hollywood thinks hackers like lairs look like. You know what I mean?
Very
like,
true. Yeah,
they're surrounded by like five random monitors with just junk everywhere, cigarette butts everywhere.
Yeah. So check out this article. It's really funny. You can see, and you can feel better about your PC setup, I would say.
Definitely.
Because every time I see these, I'm like, wow, and I thought my desk was dirty.
No kidding.
Yeah, so. And just a reminder, guys, we have our Ultimate Tech Stocking Stuffer giveaway going on. We announced our winners yesterday for the Kingston Nucleum and the fans we just reviewed, the Cooler Master, Master Fan MF120Rs. But we have five more prizes to give away and 13 days left, plus the special prize, which you have to watch a video to see what that is. So get your entry in. There's already over 5,000 entries. I think this is our biggest contest we've ever had.
Nice.
Seven different entries you can do, and there's one you can do every day, which we've added to it, so to make it even more fun for a lot of people. Says get your entry in, and we'll move on to news, and we have some graphics card stories finally. So it looks like Nvidia will be showing, or hopefully will be showing, mobile versions of their RTX 2070 at CES. It looks like they're going to launch the series at CES, which I don't think we've seen a GPU launch at CES in a very long time. Of any sorts.
Yeah, usually Nvidia doesn't really show up. Like, I mean, they're obviously there, but like, it's not a big product.
Yeah. It looks like, you know, the first launch will be the RTX 2070, which makes sense. The 2080, and they're always the high end. The mobile GPU is really for big ass laptops that not a lot of people buy. Right. Whereas a 2070 makes more sense for a lot more people. And it'd be kind of cool to see a lot of gaming centric laptops being launched at the show. Hopefully we'll see that. That'd be kind of cool. All of the the Dell XPS, the Alienware, the Razer, you know, all the big gaming, you know, laptops.
We'll see RS, them. Asus.
Yeah, the Aorus, the Asus.
All those guys have one. MSI. MSIs are actually really nice.
Yeah, MSI laptops are actually really good. So hopefully we'll see that. A lot of people have been waiting for this, you know, and hopefully we see it. That's what all the rumors are saying. So
I wouldn't see why not. So, it's the timing's right, and it's a big enough event for it. And it makes sense, too. I get that event. As that event has become less hardware-oriented. I mean, it still is, but, you know, Computex. A mobile device, it kind of, that we see a lot of mobile stuff at CES. I'll just leave it, put it that way.
So we'll let you know, because we will be there.
Yes.
NVIDIA also just released a GTX 1070 that features GDDR5X memory. So
required? It seems like they have
It seems like they have a lot of this left over.
I think that's exactly what we're seeing. Did you see the article where NVIDIA, what is his name? I can't remember his name. NVIDIA CEO.
Jen.
He was talking about how AMD ended up flooding the market during the end of the mining craze with their cards, which essentially killed NVIDIA's sales because they were, you know, we've not seen a price cut from them in years. So I'm going to guess this is, and that's what caused their, they had what, an entire quarter's worth of inventory on hand at the end of the quarter when they shouldn't have had it. So, and then they launched the 20 series. So I think you're definitely spot on with, this is just trying to push that old inventory.
Yeah. So it seems like they have a lot of this. And it looks like the first card that's been spotted with this is a Zotac GTX 1070 Amp Extreme Core Edition. Amp Extreme Core GDDR5X, that's what they're calling it. And it's clocked the same as the other one, and even the memory is clocked the same.
Is it really?
Even though the GDDR5X...
it's faster stuff.
It's faster. So basically, this is going to give you better overclocking headroom, so you better overclock your memory as soon as you get it.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially, I mean, if you're buying the Amp Extreme, that's a great cooler, so you might as well.
Yeah, so that's basically it. That's pretty much, they're not really going to offer an overclocked memory on this. It's just going to remain the same, so you should overclock it yourself.
Yeah.
Zotac's software, what is that called? Their GPU software is actually really good.
It is. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So,
is it Spectre?
It's something like that. I forget. I believe it's called Spectre.
Let me give that a quick Google.
Yeah. So it's kind of sad that they're not taking advantage, like factory overclocking the memory, because you can get a lot more out of GDDR5X. But I still think that, you know, it's good that you're getting that. I don't think there's going to be a price increase either. They're just getting rid of this old inventory.
I would almost think that it should come in at a lower price than the 1070 was originally.
I mean, it might.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm guessing not, but like it should, because those are the cards you're just trying to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly. So also talking about new cards, it does look like we are going to get an RTX 2060. It's been wondered, we're like, where the hell is this card? Because typically we see it. You know, we saw it with the 10 series and the 1060. So renders have been leaked of a Gigabyte RTX 2060 card, and not a whole lot of other information. The one information, a piece of information that we do have is that the RTX 2060 will have the core cut down to 30 CUs, which is about 1920 CUDA cores, which is down from the 2304 on the RTX 2070. It's also been reported that the ray tracing performance will be the same. Keeping like the 2070 as like the baseline for ray tracing.
That's the limit that it should go down to.
Yeah. This card from Gigabyte has an 8-pin PCI Express power connection. The reference will have a 6-pin. So this is obviously a non-reference card. And probably because this was leaked, it looks like you'll get non-reference cards off the bat. You know what I mean? You won't like have to wait a month or whatever. So Exciting to see this because this probably will be the new, like, the new most used card, I would say. It probably will hit the best price for performance out of the RTX series.
More than likely. What's the 1070 or the 2070 at? Is that price? Is that around 400?
I think. I don't remember the launch prices, which is really sad on my part. I just knew they were expensive. 499. Jeez. Yeah, I'm looking at 499. So yeah, the 2060 will be. Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's good that we'll see it. Yeah. I think it will get the RTX series into a lot more hands because, again, you know, I'm looking at on Amazon $499 for the Gigabyte Windforce. $500 is still a lot of money. I remember you can get a decent card for $329, $299.
Low 300s were that was the 70s, 70 series, you know? The 450, 500 forever, that was the flagship card.
Yeah, that was the 80. So
this is I think I've got a little bit of like old man thing or something where like
old man syndrome.
Yeah, I just I see the prices and I'm like, that used to be a nickel for seven of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so I think that the 2060 will be hopefully around in the mid 300s. They could be 399 though. You never know. But it will get those cards in the hands of a lot more people. Yeah. So, that's exciting. That is, hopefully we'll see some of those at CES as well.
Yeah.
And then talking about RTX cards, I want to talk about this cause I think it's one of the cooler blocks I've seen. You're the water cooling guy, so you can tell me. Aqua Computer announced their Cryographics Next water blocks for the RTX 20 series. Like I said, I like this. I don't know. You can tell me.
I think it looks great. I think it's nice to see. You know, it's not the first time, but I believe last year was the first time they came out with full cover blocks. So good to see them doing that again. And I think this one looks great. It looks very polished. I love the way, you know, the RGBs shine through, like with the color split on it. That looks obviously, it looks great every time, of course. But, yeah.
One thing that they're offering a version that has their Vision terminal that gives you
speed, all of flow rate
and temperature and all of that. It's built into the connection terminal.
Looks like it's got backplate. Well, that looks like the backplate has a heatsink in it, probably.
Yeah. So that's their. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Is that standard with the block? Or is that a special backplate?
I know the back. There is a backplate. I think that extra part is non-standard with the heat pipe.
Okay. It looks to me that the Vision sensor is built into that backplate probably, and then you get that extra cooling that channels through that as well. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I think that like that version, however much it costs, probably closer to 200.
Yeah.
With a Vision thing. I think that's awesome because it gives you, you know, something like we see all of these full color blocks all the time, but this gives you something else that's different, but it provides also useful information. Just like looks cool when it's installed.
Well, more than that, I think that it's like installing flow meters and stuff. A lot of times they can really disrupt the way your build looks, the way all your tubing ends up looking. It can either sag the tubing or you just can't find a great place to put it. And this just like anchors it and it's just a great spot. The only thing that would be cooler, I think, is if there was there is a display on it. Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's like, right on the outside. Awesome. Yeah. Because that also reports to software. So you can monitor that and you can set up alarms and stuff with it. So
yeah, and you can change what's displayed on it as well.
Yeah, that's sick.
Very, very cool. That's why I wanted to put this in here because you are the water cooling guy. So
yeah,
very cool.
So stuff. Is this okay? I'm reading through the end. Prices. The backplates will cost €32.90 for passive cooled. So that's probably just a standard backplate, and then €47.90 for. Is that with the Vision?
I don't know if that's with the Vision or not.
Vision enabled terminals at $39.90. So is it both of those prices together for the backplate and the Vision?
Probably.
Which makes sense, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably over 200 for water block and backplate on this, but
yeah. But I think it's worth it.
If that's what you want, it's well worth it.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. So that'd be really cool to definitely check this out. That's awesome. One of the better RTX blocks I've seen so far. So
agreed.
We'll move from RTX and NVIDIA stuff over to AMD, and AMD just trademarked the Vega 2 logo. So it looks like we will be getting Vega 2 soon. It's not much different from the original Vega logo, except for there's two Roman numeral like eyes cut into the left cut into the right side of the V.
Yeah, it's like little slashes in the wings.
Yeah, check out the posters to see what it looks like. This was just registered. So this is probably the logo you're going to see on the higher end, the Radeon Pro and Radeon Instinct cards, and possibly on the gaming grade Radeon RX cards, but sometimes they don't include, because this is Vegas for the architecture. It's not for the actual, like, you know, it's not a Radeon card for that. But that's the marketing that you're going to see probably with that logo. Right. So I actually like it. It's very subtle.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll be more impressed if the cards are worth buying. I mean, yes. Actually, at this point, price-wise, they're starting to look pretty tempting. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
They don't perform, horrible. But, I mean, goodness. You can get, like, seven of them for one NVIDIA card.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk about AMD and Ryzen stuff. And there was this list, a 2019 consumer OEM product list for Ryzen, third generation Ryzen parts.
It's a pretty and complete
holy
list.
Holy shit. If these are true, this is crazy. So we'll start with the more important things, like a Ryzen 7 3700X, which will replace the flagship 2700X, which will be a 12-core, 24-thread part. 12-core, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because, again, the Ryzen 7 2700X is 8-core, 16-thread. So we're moving up from 8-core, 16-thread to 12-core, 24-thread, 4.1 gigahertz base clock, 4.65 gigahertz boost clock, and look at the price, $300.
Same price.
$299.
Same price as the 2700X. Actually, no, it's $30 less, isn't it?
I don't know how much the 2700X right now. It should be.
It was. It had dropped down to $299 when the 9900K came out, and I believe its standard price is $330. Let me just double check.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure that's what it was at. So. That's...
And again, this comes with a cooler.
Oh, it's down to $289 right now.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. But yeah, $329 is its standard price. But
yeah, so
that's how amazing.
And that's a 7-nanometer part on the Zen 2 architecture.
Yeah, it's much more advanced.
And one thing that's interesting is we have two Ryzen 9 parts here. So we haven't had Ryzen 9 parts. Ryzen 7 was the highest mainstream desktop part, but we have a Ryzen 9 parts, and they're both 16 core 32 thread parts, which is pretty crazy. And there's a Ryzen 9 3800 and a Ryzen 9 3800X Black Edition.
I gotta get that Black Edition just because it sounds cool, I think.
The difference between these two is that
quite a bit
the
of
normal
speed.
One that's Yeah, the 3800 base clock is 3.4 gigahertz, whereas the Black Edition part is
4.3.
Yeah. And then the normal part, the 3800, boosts up to 4.2 gigahertz, where the Black Edition boosts to 4.9 gigahertz. And there's a $100 difference. So again, still 16-thread 32 part for either $399 or $499.
That's such a value.
Yeah, and I assume they're coming with coolers again.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't, they can still have my money.
Yeah. And then going to Threadripper, moving up to Threadripper, we're going to see some pretty insane parts here.
Yeah.
There's a Threadripper 3970 WX and a Threadripper 3990 WX Black Edition. Both are 64-core, 128-thread parts. The 3970 WX is 1700, and the 3990 WX Black Edition is 2000.
Jeez, but look at the speed difference. The base clock on the 3970 is 3.7, and the base clock on the 3990 is 5.
Which?
5 at 64 cores?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Again, this is like this.
How leaked is this?
I want to preface. Yeah, I want to preface. This is leaked. This is not confirmed or anything like that. So that's a little suspect. Also, like the Black Edition naming is just weird to me.
Wasn't that an Intel thing?
Yeah, that's what I think. Could be wrong.
I want to say that it was an Intel thing.
But if you look at it, I mean, 64 cores at 5 gigahertz base clock is just like impossible.
Unless there's some magic.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 7-nanometer architecture.
Oh no,
you know,
Black Edition is an AMD thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but typically we see as we go up the cores, especially this far, you're gonna see a drop in the base clock. Actually, yeah. As you get into high end desktop, you're gonna see slight drops in base clock. But you're getting a ton more threads for it, obviously. This step up is kind of surprising.
Yeah. But if you look at this list, even if it, I mean, hopefully some of this could be true. If it is, Intel is like screwed.
Absolutely.
You know,
they don't have anything to compete with if these speeds are real.
All of the mainstream parts here, there are Ryzen 3s and Athlon Endurons on here as well, but the main desktop parts are all 7-nanometer. They're all aggressively priced, pretty much the same price as the previous last year's. So we're not moving up in price, really. And we're also increasing cores substantially.
Let's see. The cheapest 7-nanometer part is $170, and it gets you 8 cores, 16 threads.
Yeah.
For $170, that's like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a bit ridiculous.
So again, I take this with a grain of salt. We don't know if this is real.
Yeah.
But if it is, AMD's really gonna, you know, yeah.
My standouts on this list, obviously the 3700X at $299, that's probably the best price for performance thing you can, if it's real, if it's really this fast, that's probably the best you'll be able to buy. But I really do like the 3800X Black Edition. $500, just it's fast, it's quite fast, and it gets you a 1632, so
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, so check out this list. When I saw this, I was like, is this serious?
Jaw drop. Yeah.
So again, AMD if it's true, AMD will be continuing with their very aggressive pricing, giving a lot to the consumer, and increasing core counts again and again.
I think that's how you do it, right? And we said this when they asked us how we felt about pricing at CES 3 years ago, I believe. And we said, you have to come in and you have to crush Intel because, like, you have to crush them with pricing because there's no other way you'll move the market your way, regardless, because you're going to be close in performance. They didn't take our advice, but, I mean, that is what we said, and that's what they've done. And it look at the way the market's moving.
Yeah, very true, very, very true. To give a little bit of credence towards this list, AMD put out an ad for a contest to guess the Cinebench scores for their upcoming AMD processor, specifically a Ryzen 7 3700X and Ryzen 5 3600X, both of which are on that list.
Hmm. Yeah.
And if you guess the correct score, this is in South Korea. If you guess the correct score, you get the processor when it comes out. So it does show you that this naming will at least be the same, which is expected. I mean, you can make up that.
Those are the most obvious ones. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, it gives a little bit more credence. So it just, you know, keeps you.
Yeah.
Keeps you.
It's definitely coming, but we know it's coming too, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get teased some of these parts at CES at least, because it doesn't look like we're going to see a launch for sure. By CES. Probably, what did we say? Well, I think we said last week, probably Computex.
Computex is when everything's supposed to launch, supposedly, according to all the leaks that we've seen. Yeah. That's when the chipset will launch. That's when the processors will launch as well. So
hopefully we see something, though.
Yeah, and you might see the higher-end parts, like the Threadripper parts. But they launched after last time, too, so I don't know how they're going to do it. We'll move from that to memory. And Corsair is following suit with Aorus, who was actually the first company to do it. They're launching dummy modules, dummy RGB modules. So RGB memory is expensive. It just is. A lot of people, you know, typically still 16 gigabytes to 8 gig sticks are great for most applications. You typically don't need more.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing those in dual channel, it's every other slot. And if you have RGB memory, it just doesn't look as good. You want all your slots to be populated. And typically, for the most part, previously that meant buying another whole kit, doubling your cost when it comes to memory. Corsair has come out with their Vengeance RGB Pro Light Enhancement Kit, which looks like a dual channel memory kit, but it doesn't have memory on it. It does have a PCB and everything. It looks like memory, but there's nothing on there, and it looks exactly like their Vengeance Pro memory. So you can buy this kit for $40 and make it look like you have more memory than you do. But also it just helps the RGB lighting look good.
Right. And the nice thing about this kit is it looks like it's going to power the RGBs and control them through the slots. So
no external cables
or anything.
No external cables. It controls just like the Vengeance Pro does. Yeah. So the Vengeance Pro memory is the same thing. So you can either control it through IQ or you can control it through your motherboard software. Both will work. $40 isn't bad.
Even though that's especially, what you should at least almost pay that for a kit, but it's good for finishing off that build. I actually feel like these, and we're just going to see a number of these types of kits, are actually pretty good for the pro modder or just the system builder that maybe you're not even going to buy memory at all. You're just building the system for looks. This could actually save you a bit of money.
Yeah, especially too when it comes to high-end desktop. Buying already a quad channel kit so that's four DIMMs and then having to buy two quad channel kits that gets expensive, especially like you said, if you're doing a build based on a certain processor or something like that, it gets expensive. Very, very expensive. 128 gigabytes of DDR4 RGB memory is not cheap at all,
right?
So $40 a pop for a dual channel kit or two of these DIMMs. I like the pricing. And again, if you're buying Corsair Vengeance Pro RGB, which is very expensive, it's very, very cool. Thermaltake has their take on this, and they're doing a little bit different. They have just introduced their Pacific R1 Plus memory lighting kit. And what this is sort of like a... kind of like, you remember those air coolers that went on top of of memory? This is kind of like the same thing, but instead of cooling, it goes over the top of your memory and provides RGB lighting. So what's cool about this kit, specifically if you have an older system, is that it's compatible with DDR slots ranging from DDR2 to DDR4. So if you have an older system that you want to add some light to, and it's very hard to do, this will work. And this will connect your motherboard via RGB header, but it comes with our controller as well. If you were thinking that you only had to use this on a newer motherboard, you can use it on an older board as long as it has a USB 2.0 header, which all older boards do have.
Yeah.
It
does require wiring, though.
Yes, it does require wiring.
How does it work with DIMMs that are populated?
It just goes right on top.
Okay, so it works just like the old fans used to.
Yeah, so it goes right on top, and it I don't know if there's any adjustment for height, but obviously if you already have RGB DIMMs, you wouldn't be using this. I think this is just for all non-RGB DIMMs.
And only available in a 4 DIMM package, it looks like, right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. which is, that makes sense.
Well, typical, because, but there are two DIMM slots as well.
Yeah. No word on pricing, but I assume it's going to be right around the same price, probably like 30, 40. But I like it because the backwards compatibility is really a big deal. You know, if you're getting RGB memory, you're kind of limited to DDR4, and if, you know, you're still rocking the DDR3 system.
Yeah.
And you want to just add something to it. Yeah, this is a great way to do it. And it comes with, like, again, the controller too, and it works with their software. So
I think more towards $20 would be a more appropriate price, though, personally.
Correct. I think that because it comes with a controller, it's going to be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just
a light strip, though, essentially.
Yes.
So, okay.
I still think it's going to be in the $40 range. All right. But we'll see whenever it actually comes out. And then we have some gaming news this week. And the big news, the big story when it comes to gaming is that Epic Games, with their loads of money that they have from Fortnite, is they're launching their own Epic Games store. And the big thing with this is that they're going to be giving a lot more revenue to game developers. If you look at what Steam takes 30% off the top of every sale. So if you're a developer, you kind of have to factor that in. And if you're using the Unreal Engine, which is owned by Epic, that's another 5% you have to take off. So in the end, you're stuck with 65%. Which is not a whole lot. I mean,
well,
you know.
Yeah. Well, and really, then after you take that 65%, then take your own costs into it too. So.
Yeah, all that. So with their store, they're going to only take 12%, and that 12% also gives you, or if you're on their store, that gives you access to the Unreal Engine that's factored into that 12%. You know, game developers will get 88%, a much better percentage compared to 65%.
Absolutely.
Do
you want more money is the real question, game developer.
Yeah. Other companies have tried to take on Steam. Nobody has really been able to do it.
It's a bit of a mammoth.
Yeah. It's just trying to get people off of Steam and trying to get game developers to put good games that people want off of Steam is also a big thing.
Yeah, it's one thing when you're like, say, the developer, like your EA, right? So you've got Origin. Obviously, you're just going to put all your own games in there. But that is not what Steam is at all. So that's where this is directly competing.
Yeah, and the thing that you want to point out too is that if you're a game developer, if your game's not using Unreal Engine, you can still put it on the Epic Games Store. Which is also, good. They're not like limiting it. I can't talk today. They're not making it so you have to use Unreal Engine. So that's good too.
Yeah.
And with that, they are moving all of their, all the Epic Games titles are being moved to the store and off of Steam, but you don't have to worry because if you bought it through Steam, you're still going to get it and you're still going to receive all the updates for that game as well through Steam.
Yeah.
They're just removing, like, I guess, the ability to purchase them new, I guess. I'm not sure how they're all doing that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that. But this is a pretty big rift. And I think that with all the money that Epic Games has because of Fortnite and that user base, so obviously this launcher thing that, the Epic Games Store is going to be where you launch Fortnite. So they have a big user base of players.
Yeah, they've got a couple of things to leverage here, don't they?
Yeah, and what that gives them the ability to do is, you open this launcher, then you get an ad, just like Steam has ads for games or what's going on. You're going to see that and be like, oh, maybe I'll check out that game. So I think they have a lot going for them, and they have a lot of money, too, to put into this.
They might be the only company that's really been positioned to do this. To be successful.
Yeah. And I think the big thing is that they are giving a lot to developers. They're not doing the same model as Steam, saying, if I think they have to as well, because if you're on Steam, like, why am I going to go over to Epic? Like, it's the same cut. Who cares?
Yeah. Why would you go away from the most popular PC gaming server available.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how it goes. Pretty excited about it. Pretty excited to see, you know, what they do differently, and all that kind of stuff. But also talking about Steam and Valve, Valve announced Danger Zone Battle Royale mode for CSGO. So CSGO is finally, we talked about it before, rumored that there's going to be a Battle Royale mode. There is now. You know, CSGO is probably one of the most popular games on Steam still, and it came out in 2012.
Is this the original CSGO?
Not the original Counter-Strike, but the original. So there was Counter-Strike, and then Counter-Strike Source, and then Counter-Strike Go.
Right, okay.
So, and then with that, the game is now free to play. Which, again, I think they're just trying to do the same thing that all these other Battle Royale games have done, is it's free to play. Well, I guess PUBG is not free. But, you know, Fortnite, free to play.
Yeah.
And they're getting so many people because it's free to play, and then they're buying all this other, you know, skins and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you bought the game, you get they have a paid tier, which you get put into, which is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it kind of had to happen. This game has been around for so long, and you can't keep on charging $15 for it. It's just, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can. Because people are paying for it, but to get more life out of the game, this is the way to go.
To get more life out of the game and get more users to obviously use Steam too. I mean, this announcement came the next day after the
Epic Games.
The Epic
Games. What are they calling it? So, what are they calling that?
At the Epic Games Store.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, nothing.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing different. So that wraps up our news for the week. A lot of interesting stuff this week. I think as we get closer to CES, we'll get even more interesting stuff coming out. So
hopefully,
what we have coming up next week, we have our first RTX card in the house. We'll be taking a look at Zotac's RTX 2080 Amp Extreme Edition graphics card, which is a very nice card.
Sweet,
very good looking card. So it'll be your first, you know, our first look for our first hands-on look at RTX graphics card. And it's going to be kind of nice because, you know, the Battlefield 5 patch is out for ray tracing. So we'll be able to test that as well, which is be kind of sweet. So we have that, and we'll have the Cooler Master Master Case H500, which is a very affordable $100 mid-tower case. Tempered glass side panel, two very large intake fans. I think they're 200 million? I don't know. They're huge.
On the front?
Yeah, on the front. Two very large fans. So this is a very high airflow case, and those fans are RGB, so we'll have that as well. We might have some other stuff, and again, a reminder, we have our contest going on, so definitely check that out too. And that brings us to the end here. And we always talk about if we did anything, you know, cool, saw any movies, did anything tech related. Did you do anything like that?
I saw a couple of movies. I watched the new Mission Impossible Fallout movie. It was about as terrible as every other Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
So if you're into it, you're into it. But it's not worth its 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, I don't think. Oh, wow. They're just so cheesy. I don't get into them. I never have.
I think, yeah.
Just, I don't buy it.
I think that's with like a lot of those that have gone on for too long. You're just like,
come on, Tom Cruise, go back to it, something else. Then I watched Mile 22 right after that, which is what's his name, Mark Wahlberg film, and I think everybody should see this.
It's that good.
It's that good. It's Mark Wahlberg and. You know who Iko Uwais is? He's the Raid Redemption guy.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal martial artist, and this movie is like nonstop.
It's awesome.
It's really good.
I saw the trailer for it and it looked good. So.
Yeah. Definitely awesome. Check that out.
I didn't do anything really. Oh. I've been working on reviews and all that kind of stuff. So.
Too bad.
Yeah, maybe I'll get into some stuff. I haven't continued to watch Mr. Robot. I just haven't had time, honestly. So, you know, it's hockey season. We watch the Penguins games and stuff. So, So yeah, guys, we'll close it out here. As I always say, we have our full list of show notes that has everything that we talked about. And if you're looking to subscribe, you can do it on the page, or if you're in your favorite podcasting software or app, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next time, catch you guys later.